So, you okay? Okay. Just some almost face plant into the rail. It's like, I should I do something? I think Thomas gets a bad rap. And you might have heard this from me before. Because he's forever known as the one who doubts. And what we fail to realize often, which Lindsay actually mentioned during the children's message, is that the week before Thomas sees Jesus, Jesus appeared to the disciples. And when he appeared to the disciples, he showed them his scars, and they believed. And then Thomas shows up, which we'll talk about in a second, and they say, we've seen Jesus. And he says, no, you haven't. That doesn't make any sense. Now, he has every reason not to believe. And the other disciples have every reason to believe. And then Thomas says, unless I actually see the scars, I will continue not believing. And the disciples have already seen all of those things. So they have every reason to believe. Thomas has no reason to believe. Because if I told you, like we did a funeral yesterday for Kathy Kuhlman, if you came and told me that you've seen her, I would say, you might want to get that checked out. Because that just, it doesn't make sense. People don't rise from the dead. That's kind of an immutable law. Except for this one instance. So, there are a couple of other questions, though, that are underneath the surface that even if you don't notice as you're reading it or hearing it, your brain kind of does, and it creates a sort of dissonance or something like that that we have to get through. Now, the disciples are hiding, and John says they're hiding for fear of, quote, the Jews. And I really wish that that wasn't part of his writing style, because it makes it sound like all of Judeans or people of Jewish ethnicity or something like that, which is doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because literally everybody in that room is Jewish. So it's like his way of saying people. So we have to figure out which people. And it would probably mean like the upper echelon or higher ranking priests. Because they're the ones that are going to be pretty nervous about Jesus' inner circle. So they took out the top guy, and it would be pretty well known at that time, if you take out the top guy, watch for his inner circle, because that's where his successor is likely to come from. So if they just go prancing about in Jerusalem, they're probably going to get nabbed. And in several weeks after Jesus ascends into heaven and they start causing a scene in the temple, guess what? They get arrested. Now, the other detail we have to just point out, and again, you might not have noticed it, but your brain did in some way. Thomas isn't with them. Does that seem weird? What's he doing? Like those are his closest friends. He's from Galilee, so it's not like he's gonna be staying with his brother. Where is he? And John loves to do this. My favorite example, which I think we talked about a few days ago, that Jesus found out that his friend Lazarus was sick, and so he stayed where he was for a few days. He just likes to throw out these moments, and when you notice them, it kind of requires you to slow down a little bit and ask why. Now, ultimately, we don't know. We just don't know. There's at least, I think, a strong possibility if you look at Thomas's previous lines as if it were a play, but that's maybe a helpful way to look at it. Because he is with Jesus, they are about to pass from Galilee into Judea and go to Jerusalem, and some Pharisees who seem to be on the side of Team Jesus, which frankly isn't surprising, they say, dude, people are looking to kill you. Are you sure you want to do that? And Jesus says, well, yeah. And Thomas says, well, let's just go and die with him. That's not a lot to go on, but that speaks to somebody who kind of throws his entire weight at something. And if he is that type of person, and he has just lost Jesus, he's lost everything. So what difference does it make? If he lost that one person that he had dedicated his life to, then who cares? Again, this isn't proof, but I suspect something like that is happening. So when he finally makes his way back to the disciples and they say, we've seen Jesus, and he says, look, unless I see scars and I can put my finger through, which is kind of gross, let's just admit that, then I won't believe. And I think Thomas sometimes gets mischaracterized, especially in like theatrical portrayals of this moment. If you've seen plays or movies that depict this moment, you'll have Thomas, sometimes see Thomas going like, well, I'm a practical man if I don't. No, it's just, look, dead people don't rise. And, okay, if you found somebody who kind of looks like Jesus, good for you, but I'm gonna need more to go on. Again, it speaks to somebody who has lost somebody, and it, really, if his heart's gonna trust anything again, he's gonna need a lot more to go on. So, Jesus appears. Again, how is he, like, phasing between, like, rooms? I don't know. Resurrection, we'll just call it that. And Jesus gives him what he wants, and John doesn't even narrate Thomas touching him, which is kind of interesting. Then he confesses, my Lord, my God. And Jesus honors him, and then he honors those who come after him by saying, you believe because you see, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. And that's, if this were a TV show, we'd say he's breaking the fourth wall. Because John is, it's general, like the kind of broad consensus, and I certainly agree with this, that John is probably the last of the Gospels to be written. So written late, even in terms of the New Testament. And so as he has written this, he has written it for a specific audience and community. We don't know exactly who that would be, but it's, shall we say, safe to say that very few, if anybody else, who is hearing this read was there. Does that make sense? John just talked directly to them, as if to say, and for everybody here listening to this, Jesus called you blessed. And then, as it turns out, that's basically everybody from that point on for the last 2,000 years. John talks directly to you. Now, this is why I think that the phrase doubting Thomas is unfortunate. I would call him more like reasonable Thomas, reasonably skeptical. Maybe he's been hurt, and frankly, if he's going to get through that and actually be vulnerable enough to believe that Jesus may have actually defeated death, he's gonna need more to go on than just what his brothers have said. I don't know how you fit that into one word. You could probably do it in German, but you can't in English. That joke is really funny, by the way, for like two people. Nevertheless, and you know, it's a bad habit, but it's also bad if I have to tell you that a joke is funny. I recognize that. Nevertheless, I think Thomas is just Thomas. And he responds in a way that I think is quite reasonable. Does he express doubts? Yes. Should we know him by that? Probably not. But even if we did, this is neither the first nor the last time Jesus will encounter people who doubt. For example, at the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus has been with his disciples and not just the, 11, you know, we don't talk about that 12th one, but even a much larger group than that. And Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, which again doesn't mean that he leaves, but it's more that he takes his throne. He sits at the right hand of God. He is now ruling over his creation. And it says his disciples worshiped him, but some doubted. And that's remarkable for a whole bunch of reasons. They've now been with Jesus for probably a few weeks following his resurrection, and yet still some are going, this is a lot. And you know what what Jesus does with that? Nothing. He just lets it be. Peter, in that famous / infinite, or infamous, there we go. I almost said infinite, whatever. When Jesus is walking on water to the boat where his disciples are, and they are perfectly understandably terrified, Peter says, well, if it's you, tell me to get out there. He says, okay, come on. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he takes a step out of the boat, and it works for a moment, and then he gets nervous and then starts to sink. And then Jesus grabs him and he says, you have little faith, why did you doubt? Now, what is Peter doubting? Because he's not doubting Jesus' ability to walk on water, because he's just watching him do it. He's doubting either Jesus' ability to make Peter walk on water, which I feel like if you can walk on water, you can probably make other people walk on water. That's not like a rule, but we'll call it a heuristic. Maybe he's doubting his own ability to walk on water with the power of Jesus. I don't know. But either way, Jesus just mentions it, and that's it. Why'd you doubt? Hey, I gotcha. Why don't we get into the boat? Jesus encounters a man whose child is very, very sick. And he says, your child will live if only you believe. And the man says, one of my favorite lines, really, in the entire New Testament. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. Now that phrase has an interesting history. In terms of interpretation, because you get like a bunch of scholars in like 19th and early 20th century Europe who just have nothing to do except overanalyze and overthink everything, and then world wars happen, and then they realize maybe we should, spend our time better. But anyway, they look at that phrase and they go, that doesn't make any sense. You know, this. Somebody's confused here. Maybe it was copied funny or something like that. Man, if you've lived a life of faith, that phrase, you can just feel it. I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus, this makes sense. And also, I'm having a hard time buying it. Like, there's faith and doubt kind of mixed together. That just feels right. And you know how Jesus responds to that? He doesn't. He heals. He heals this guy's kid. That's it. What this does is paint a picture of Jesus' posture towards doubt. In that, he doesn't seem particularly bothered by it. Bless you. I'm sorry. If somebody sneezes, it's so, like, deep in my brain. Anyway, I do hope whoever sneezed is blessed. But nevertheless, Jesus doesn't seem particularly bothered by doubt. So why are we? I'll be talking with somebody who maybe they're going through something or something just doesn't make sense as they are following Jesus or trying to make sense of it all. And to them, sometimes it'll feel like doubt is just the end of the world, as opposed to it being just a natural part of a life of faith. I think a faith that never has doubts is a faith that maybe isn't human. See, if what it also shows is a little bit of Jesus' personality. Take somebody who's got a lot of money. Got a lot of money, but they're just the type that's always trying to prove themselves and demonstrate that they do in fact have a lot of money. And if you were to say to them, you're not that rich, what are they going to do? They're going to puff out their chest. No, let me show you. I can prove to you. I've got and I've done and I own and whatever. And what does that tell you? It tells you that they're pretty insecure. If you were to tell me, Eric, you're not that good at playing guitar, let me find one. You know, like, what would that say? It'd say I'm pretty insecure about whatever you're mentioning. I think I just heard Mike say he'd go and buy one. Maybe. You're not that wrong. Jesus is remarkably not insecure, because he knows who he is. It's the people who really just, who are truly confident. Not cocky or arrogant, because usually that's masking something. That's masking an insecurity. But who's really confident about, and appropriately confident about what they've done or who they are, what they're capable of. That if that trait is challenged, who cares? They're fine if you're wrong. Or they're fine if you're working that out. I know a couple of people like that at my gym where we do jiu-jitsu. They're very quiet about how good they are. And then you try to grab them. And it's so much fun trash-talking those guys. Because we all know how this is going to go. I'm going to get crushed. Jesus is not insecure. And in that lack of insecurity, for people like Thomas, Peter, that father whose child was deathly ill, for the disciples who were about to watch him ascend into heaven and still were like, this, what Jesus does is create space for that. Rather than trying to push it away or dismiss it or explain it away, I go, no, you have to believe, I'm right here. Instead of that like weird neediness or insecurity, what Jesus and his security does is it gives everybody an opportunity to grow by first being honest about where they are. And that is a vital, vital part of a life of faith in following Jesus. Because where does that process of following Jesus begin? Like God gives us this gift of faith, and part of what comes with that is the ability to confess, I'm not who I should be. It creates that space. Love, mercy, and grace tend to do that. And so when we find ourselves with doubts, whether it's because something happens and it doesn't make sense, or you're trying to engage with the biblical narrative and it turns out the Bible's got some wacky stuff in it that we still just don't, even some things Jesus said, we still don't understand what they mean. Or you encounter like counter narratives that seem to undermine faith in certain ways, and so now you've got to kind of wrestle with it because you can't just ignore it. It's not the end of the world. Faith is a gift, and Jesus is secure enough to create that space and walk alongside you. And that is deeply freeing, especially for those of us, myself included, who have those dark moments, those moments of doubt, those moments of confusion. That's an extremely freeing reality. Because if Jesus isn't bothered by my doubt, then why would I be? If I'm finding myself like Thomas or any other people that Jesus encountered feeling the same way, going, this doesn't make sense, and I'm really uncomfortable, Jesus' response is just as tender as it would be in any other situation. That's the gift of faith. That's why Jesus died. That's why he defeated death. That's why he now continues to extend the invitation and in some cases drag us kicking and screaming into a life of faith. It's all a gift. Amen. As you are able, please rise.